allergies, itchy eyes or skin, cold or sore throat, tummy trouble, aches and pains? Think pharmacy first. Your local pharmacy is your expert NHS health team, treating a wide range of common illnesses and health concerns, with no need to visit your GP. Remember, always keep a well-stocked medicine cabinet and order repeat prescriptions in plenty of time. Find your local pharmacy at nhs.uk/findapharmacy. NHS, here to help.
This is Our People Podcast, telling the stories behind South Tyneside and Sunderland NHS Foundation Trust.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Our People Podcast. I am today joined by Lynn Bates, who works in the Cataract Treatment Centre here at the Sunderland Eye Infirmary. So I'm sitting in one of the offices in the corridor, and it's a super busy place in the hospital, but Lynn's going to take us through the work that it does. So Lynn, tell us about your job role with us and about your career so far.
Yeah, so I'm the manager of the Cataract Treatment Centre currently, have been in post for 18 months. Prior to that, I was the band 6 in the department for about 4 years. I started in the trust in 2008 from qualifying and done a couple of years in orthopaedics. But since I was a student at the eye infirmary, like throughout my training, I always felt like I wanted to come back. So in 2010, I believe, I transferred here as a band 5 staff nurse and been here ever since.
And so what kind of attracted you into nursing, and what was it particularly about the eye hospital that interested you?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I hadn't done any previous healthcare, I had no experience before I started training in 2004. It was always in the back of my mind that I wanted to be a nurse. It kind of came out of the blue because there was no nurse in my family or anything like that. It was just one of those things that I thought that I really had quite, a lot of passion for. And my first placement was here at the Eye Infirmary, so obviously first
impressions.
And I just loved the specialty from there. I thought it was very interesting. It was, there was always something to learn and always, something changing and developing, and I just loved it from then.
So if you don't mind me asking, what did you do before you were a nurse?
I've done college, A-levels, so I was quite young, straight out of school, college, and then into uni.
I should always find it really interesting if people have had a different career before they become a nurse.
It was brand new.
And so what do you do as part of your role?
So, department manager here, we've got quite a large team of nurses and healthcare assistants. We run a busy theatre department where cataract operations happen in over 2 theatre suites. And probably an even busier outpatients department as well, which caters for pre-ops, post-op cataract clinics, all different specialties really, diabetic-related eye disease, glaucoma, corneal clinics, but it's quite varied. In terms of cataracts, we do the pre-assessments there as well. We try and see the patients from the very beginning point of referral. We do all the pre-assessment, the measurements before they see the consultant, and then we try and follow that through with the same nurse if we can when they come back for the surgery, so we've got that continuity of care.
So what kind of roles do you have? What kind of professions do you have?
So we've got a combination of qualified and healthcare assistants, more qualified obviously, and we have different roles for those. So we quite a specialised area, and those nurses that are with us, they work between theatre and outpatients, so they get that varied specialised role as well, which often helps. It's obviously good for job satisfaction and seeing patients pre and post. It's enduring, obviously. So we do a primary nursing system whereby when the patients arrive for surgery, they're called in by one nurse and that nurse is with them for their entire journey. There's no handover, so they build up quite a nice relationship and help them through it if there's any nerves or anxiety or any questions or concerns. And the procedure is really quite quick. It doesn't take very long. The process itself from getting into theatre to getting through is about an hour all told once they're in the theatre. So, there is time for a bit chatting, getting to know each other's lives, really.
It's you're going to take us in a bit more detail through the journey the patient has, but most people kind of use the phrase or understand the word cataract, but what does it describe? What's going on in the eye when that happens?
So we all have a natural lens in our eye, and as we age, or through various different reasons, but mainly due to age, the lens becomes a bit cloudy, hardened, you know, more difficult to see through. And at that point, patients often notice when they're going for their eye test with the opticians. So when the opticians are doing their examination, they would identify if there's a cataract there or not, what sort of problems are happening, and then get a referral into us. But, you know, we get a huge amount of patients coming in. It is mainly an age thing, but the age range is quite varied, starting from, you know, even mid-20s up until kind of 90-year-olds, you know.
And so is it an optician that would normally refer to us?
An optician would refer. I mean, some opticians can refer, but it's either an optician or a GP, depending on where the patient goes. So opticians can refer direct. They often kind of do that referral to the GP, and then the GP refers in. It shouldn't take any longer, whichever way you do it. Just some opticians are able to do a direct referral. And from that point, they wait for an outpatient appointment, and if the outpatient appointment's done on our corridor in the cataract treatment centre, then they get the full pre-assessment and consultation at that time and leave with the date for surgery.
Ah, so that's quite a swift turnaround, really.
Yeah, very. And often, you know, we give a plan of care booklet, which is all condensed with lots of information in. Dates go on the front of there, and then they're asked to bring that back when they come for their operation.
And how many do you tend to do a day? I know sometimes it's really hard to generalise.
So we've got two lists.
Because you've got the two suites.
We've got two suites. So morning and afternoon we have two lists each time. The lists vary. Some lists have got six on, because we do a lot of teaching with junior doctors as well. And then we do fast track, kind of, you know, more quicker, high volume lists up to about 11 patients. So it ranges from about 6 patients to 11 patients on each list, depending on.
And so that's kind of doubled each session?
Yeah.
And then obviously the afternoon, right, mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a busy day then.
Yes, very quickly.
It must do. And so what happens when somebody comes in to have their cataract removed and lens replaced?
Yeah, so what happens is they'll check in at the reception desk, they'll give the details and whatnot, then they'll be asked to take a seat in the waiting area. Each patient arrives with a 15-minute appointment, so, you know, there's quite a steady flow. Nobody's kind of waiting for hours and hours on end. We often say to the patients it's a 2-hour appointment, so from checking in to getting through theatre, no longer than 2 hours. It's generally a lot quicker than that. So they'll take a seat in the waiting area, and once there's a space in theatre, once the nurse has checked all the patient details and whatnot, they'll be called from the waiting area into our first admissions rooms. We'll check details, check that they're fitting well, feel happy enough to go ahead, sign consent forms before proceeding into theatre. And at that point, we'll start putting eye drops in, just give a, you know, kind of a brief explanation of what's going to happen step by step. And they kind of wheel through on a theatre. It's like a chair, like we often say, it's like a dentist chair which lays down for the procedure. But they come in and they sit on the chair, and they don't come off the chair until they're on their way home, basically. We kind of wheel them through the department. So lots of drops going initially. Some people need a little bit of sedation, so they'll have a cannula put in at that point, either in the back of the hand or in their arm. There's often an anaesthetist around that'll help with any sedation or any kind of anaesthetic that we need to give other than eye drops. And for the actual procedure, we'll lay the bed down into a bed, and then we cover the eye with kind of a sticky window, and then it unfolds into a paper drape to keep everything nice and clean, and it also covers the other eye so they don't see any of the operation. Eyelids are held back with a very fine clip, just a little speculum to keep the eyelids open.
Because you mentioned the eye drops, so they numb the eye.
So
they can kind of feel a little bit of what's going on,
they'll feel a little bit, yeah. They'll be aware of what's going on, but they shouldn't feel anything sharp or painful. And lots of people don't feel anything sharp or painful. So all of that's done kind of before they go into the surgery. We need the pupil nicely dilated as well. So lay the bed down, paper towel goes over, which is quite sticky around the eye to hold it in place. Speculum goes under the eyelids to keep the eye open. Patients asked to keep both eyes open, although not seeing out of the one that's covered, and just keep looking straight ahead to the bright light of the microscope. If people feel a little bit of pressure, a little bit of kind of sensation around the eye where the surgeon rests a hand, but everything happens from the side. people often worry about, you know, seeing things coming towards them and worrying about keeping their eye open, but there's no concerns like that.
Can they just see a light? They just see the light
of the microscope, yeah, more than anything. Some people say it's quite psychedelic as the cataract breaks down with the machine. And then we take the cataract away with our special machine.
So what does that do? You told me about it, you describe really well what happens, so you explain.
So it's kind of, how do we explain it? So it breaks the cataract down into small enough pieces for it then to kind of vacuum it out at the same time. So it breaks it down, uses water to break it down as well. And then once everything's out, we fold a lens, the artificial lens, up into a shooter, or sometimes they already come preloaded, and that goes in the same incision that we've made, and it kind of springs up once it's in into the eye and holds in place.
And how tiny is the incision?
It's about 2.2 millimetres. Yeah, it's not big at all. People say that, you know, it's a very tiny incision.
So from there, what happens to them?
So following the surgery, we obviously take the paper towel off, clean around the eye. Some people kind of, depending on how bad their vision was beforehand, they'll see the clock in the theatre and they're like, wow, I can see the clock. And, you know, it often depends on how bad their vision was beforehand. And then we wheel them out of theatre, and then we take them in the discharge room and give them some eye drops, or give them some instructions what to do with the eye drops before they go to pharmacy. So the eye drops postoperatively go in 3 to 4 times a day for about a month altogether.
What do they do?
There's an antibiotic there, just in case. That goes in 3 to 4 times a day for 3 days initially, but they start at the same time as the steroid, so it'll help with any inflammation, help keep the eye settled afterwards. One of the drops can sting a little bit, the other one doesn't. But as long as people are aware of that, you know, there's kind of no concerns when they go home. But yeah, they're going 3 to 4 times a day for about a month altogether. Lots of people see that kind of initial improvement. It sometimes takes a day or two for the blurring effect to wear off because the pupil's been really well dilated, so we need time to let that come back down to normal size.
And then after that, they can just return
to normal duties. We say avoid any heavy lifting or strenuous activities. And obviously keep the eye clean. Hand hygiene is very important, especially putting the eye drops in. We give them contact telephone numbers to contact us or out of hours A&E kind of telephone triage system as well if they've got any concerns. So all of that information is given before they leave the hospital. And obviously they'll have to go around the pharmacy to collect their eye drops as well at the moment.
And so is that kind of the end of the process? They don't have to come back for a checkup or anything?
No, I mean, historically we always brought them back for a checkup. We would list them for their second eye at that point if needed. Other than that, we would just tell them to do the eye drops and then back to the own opticians for an eye test after kind of 4 to 6 weeks.
Does it impact on their vision at all in terms of like whether they need different prescription for their glasses?
It will, yeah, yeah. So depending on how strong the glasses are previously, it would determine, you know, we do all those measurements in the pre-assessment clinic. So when they come initially for their assessment, we use the machine to measure the eyes, and it uses clever formulas to dictate which lens we use to give those patients the best vision. So generally speaking, people will see better in the distance, but will need glasses for reading and close work. And possibly a much smaller prescription for distance afterwards.
Yeah. And you've really described really well there what people need to do to put their eye drops and keep on top of their care afterwards. Is there anything that would be a good bit of advice to a friend or a family who, if they're coming to support their loved one?
Yeah, I mean, it can be quite tiring actually to be able to put the eye drops in. So, you know, we always say to the patient, you know, you've got to kind of anticipate that people have jobs and, you know, have other commitments. So if we encourage them to put them in themselves, then great. Obviously, if there's a family member, that's, you know, that's our next port of call. Occasionally, we do arrange district nurses to go out and help if people have got kind of arthritic hands and can't, you know, use the drop, squeeze the bottle, or we think that, you know, they're not going to manage for any other reason, then we would arrange the district nurses. But they do have to go in 3 to 4 times a day, so it is quite a commitment, but lots of people can manage that themselves. We can give something called an auto dropper, which helps people be able to put their eye drops in themselves. So they're quite handy to give out to elderly patients as well.
And can people drive again afterwards, or do they get their eyes checked first?
No, well, it depends on how bad their vision was beforehand. So if they've been stopped from driving kind of legally beforehand, then we would advise an eye test before they proceed with driving. But a lot of the time we can just say your vision's going to be blurred for 2 to 3 days, just kind of refrain from driving for that length of time and then use your own judgment. As long as you can see the number plate at the required legal distance, then they're free to kind of go ahead. But we do warn them that some people might not be able to judge distances very well. You know, if they've only had one eye done and they're waiting for the other eye, that kind of judgment might be a little bit impaired for a while. So that's why we just say to just be sensible about it and use their own judgment. But certainly if they've been stopped legally from driving, we would expect them to go back to the opticians
go through
to
the
have
process.
To go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. And I know that we're a really well-regarded service because all our staff tell us, and I know that I've had family members who've come here and had a fantastic experience, but what kind of feedback do we get from patients and their families?
We, on the whole, get a lot of positive feedback because I think with the procedures that we perform, it's kind of an instant, you know, instant change, instant improvement, so that they are quite overwhelmed. They don't really expect it to be so good, you know, a lot of the time, but... You know, we get lots of letters, thank you cards, lots of sweets and chocolates, too many sometimes.
Well, I'm sure they get shared around. Because I know that my granddad, I don't know whether he must have come here, but I know that when he had his cataract done, he was absolutely bowled over with the change that he made. I don't think he'd realised how bad his eyesight had got until it was repaired.
It's a gradual decline, so they don't realise how bad the vision has got until they see that improvement, and they're like, wow.
He was absolutely just like overwhelmed with the difference that it made. It was like it was like he had a new life all over again.
Sometimes, like you say, it is instant. It is instant, but other times it takes a few days for things to settle down. Depending on how dense the cataract is, we sometimes get a little bit of cloudiness on the front of the eye, which takes a little bit longer to settle down. But lots of people see a good improvement almost straight away. Yeah, so it is good to get the feedback from the patients. It's life changing for some people. You know, if all they've got is, you know, TV or reading books or whatever, you know, they get that quality back.
And we don't just take, well, I mean, we do largely take patients from across our area, but we kind of do work across the region and to North Cumbria as well?
They can do, yeah. We do get patients from out of the area. A lot of the time it's patients that's been referred to us with an emergency, you know, a detachment, but they like to keep on coming back here, yeah. But yeah, we have got a huge region that we cover now.
And we are doing our bit to kind of chip away at the waiting list that we have.
We certainly are, yeah. We've put an extra list on a weekend just to try and keep the waiting times down. Some lists you can get in very, very quickly, but if the cataracts are a little bit more difficult or if you require a bit more of kind of comfort and sedation throughout the surgery, then we will put you on a list where you can have anaesthetic cover there. So you might wait a little bit longer for that type of service, but on the whole, it's... You know, you kind of from seeing in the clinic, we're looking at about kind of 6 to 12 weeks to get you in from there.
And I guess you must see quite a lot of nervous people.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do see a lot of nervous people because when they come here, some of them can say that, you know, they're quite petrified until they get the reassurance from the nurses at the pre-assessment, and then quite often we can kind of talk people out of it once we give a good explanation of it, because they've all had a conversation with their friend down the street and the man in the pub and,
shared experiences.
Exactly, yeah.
Because so, I guess it must just be a little bit different for people to, like, if you've never been here before, it's a whole other world that you...
Of course it is, yeah.
But you do this all day, every day.
Well, we do it all day, every day, but it's their first time or their second time or, you know, it's not something that they do every day, so we've got to kind of... take each patient as an individual and just kind of, if they're anxious, then we'll deal with that. And we can give some medication. Some people, they can just do it with some reassurance, but we can give a little bit of sedation if needed.
And I guess it also helps when you mentioned earlier on that the same nurse kind of sees you through the thing.
So they become quite familiar. Yeah. So we do try and keep that continuity with the patients. Yeah. And you can see it kind of benefits.
It must be nicer for the nurses as well, because they see the people on a regular basis as well.
Yeah.
But of course, while everything is absolutely lovely in this department, I know you were talking about some new equipment and things you got the other week, we're going to be moving into a new eye hospital in a year or two. So how have you been involved in that, and what kind of conversations have you had to make sure that the department's going to be exactly what you need when we get to that moment when we finally get to move in?
So we've been heavily involved in the process from the very onset, really. You know, all the different plannings, what we require, what we want in terms of development of the service and the department. So going forward, because ideally we'd like to replicate the area that we have here, but on a bigger scale, so that the patient journey and the processes here are very kind of
streamlined,
regimented. You know, everybody kind of knows the process. They do say it's a little bit like a conveyor belt, but you know, it works, and it gets people through, and the waiting lists keep on, you know, getting chipped away at. So we have replicated that. We've made sure, we've worked very closely with the designers to make sure that the theatre flows in the same way, so there's no kind of going forward and then taking a step back.
Yeah, because whereabouts will you be in the building?
We're going on the top.
Top floor, best views.
I don't know what way we'll be facing, actually.
Oh, well, no, do you know what? I can't remember off the top of my head either.
No, I can't.
But it is going to be such a much better building for our patients.
Yes.
So what difference is it going to make to you as a team, but also to the patients that you see every day as well?
I mean, we all love it here, you know, the eye infirmary. It's a lot of us have been here for a long, long time, and it will be kind of sad to leave it behind, but I think we are ready for a new build, kind of fresher look on things, be able to do more numbers and have the right infrastructure there to help our patients as well, because some of the rooms here are quite small, and you know, it's a little bit dated here, so you know, to have a nice fresh clinical space for everybody,
it will make a difference. And what kind of comments have you had from patients? Have they talked about it?
I mean, we've got pictures along our corridor, so when they're coming in to have their surgery done or when they leave, and they're quite a lot of the patients stop and have a look at the pictures and ask where it's going to be and how it's getting on. You know, we have had a lot of interest in it from the patients. They all seem quite positive about moving.
Just to be in the city centre, I think, is going to be better than
very different. Yeah.
Trying to get to a little bit out of town.
It is. I mean, I can tell by talking to some patients, you know, those especially coming from South Shields, they find it difficult to get through the city centre to us.
Yeah.
You know, we're not.
If you don't know where you're going.
Exactly.
And once you know, it's fine, but it's not the easiest place to find a view if you're not too sure.
Many bus routes. I mean, there's one or two that come here, but a lot of people rely on taxis, and it's a big expense for people that are coming, you know, even one or two or, you know, continuous times.
And we're already having conversations about how to make the move, physical move.
Yes.
A smooth one. So have you started having those conversations with the team about what needs to happen when?
Well, yeah, we have. It's not kind of decided how it's going to happen.
We're a little bit off.
But we need to start those plans now to make it as streamlined and, you know, at least as little disruption as possible. Obviously, we rely on different services. You know, it's not just a case of moving the theatre, because we've got the outpatients to rely on. We've got the photography department, the pharmacy to rely on. So we haven't quite detailed discussions about how to navigate that.
But the thoughts are already being had.
Oh yes, they've been ongoing for a little while.
Moving house is one thing, but moving hospitals another challenge.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to be switching this place off one day.
Oh no, absolutely not.
That's just not the case.
It's going to be a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be so much better for everybody, isn't it? Yeah. And it is really lovely when you come into this part of the hospital.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit different from the rest of the other bits. This doesn't look quite as dated as some of the other corridors.
No. Well, this was extended. This was always just one theatre, so this was extended a little while ago, to add another theatre suite on, because obviously the need was there. And then in the new build, we're going to add another one on again.
Excellent. Well, can't really wait, but like, we don't want to wish our lives away, but it's going
to
be so
nice
exciting.
Nice to see it happening, though. It's good to see it happening. It's starting to take shape, and it's, you know, it's nice to have the conversations with patients coming. They are quite excited about it.
Yeah. It is going to be really exciting, and it's great, like you say, it's great just to kind of see it taking shape as well. But just as we finish up, I wondered whether you would like to say what you enjoyed most about your job, and what you would say to maybe somebody who is thinking, is this for me as a career?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved ophthalmology as a specialty. I've always had a vested interest in it. I just think it's fascinating. There's so much to it. You know, every day is a learning day. You know, there's never anything that you go home that you haven't kind of gained in that day. I love the variety of this job. You know, we've got theatre, we've got outpatients, you know, we have a fabulous team that are very dedicated to the patients and the care that we provide here. But it's a fabulous place to work. You know, we've all worked here quite a long time, but even new people that come to the team, they're always kind of
settled in really quickly.
Settled in very, very quickly. Yeah,
So I think other people who I spoke to who work here say it's just like another family.
It is,
And that's I guess. Just
I mean, hard. Everybody has challenges. Yeah. You know,
there must be really, really busy days when that fly by. But
then that's the beauty of it as well. Yeah, the days do fly by.
Yeah, and it must be nice to hear those patients say that it's made such a difference to them so quickly as well.
Read those cards when they come through. It's brilliant.
Well, Lynn, Bates, thank you so much for taking us through. I'm really grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Our People podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and check out our other stories. Hit subscribe to keep up with the latest and catch up with what we've been up to on our Twitter, Facebook and Instagram pages. Just search for our name.